Thank you, Joe. If you want to stay there in Mark chapter 7, we're continuing this morning this series on joy and looking at various aspects of it. And as I was thinking through these different aspects of joy, I thought it would be a travesty if we didn't look at one of the Gospels that brings out this attitude or this response of joy. And so we're going to look at this that Joe just read from Mark chapter 7 and how Jesus brings joy to this man and to us as well. And so we're going to be looking into that here in Mark chapter 7. Just love these stories of how Jesus encounters people and just does these powerful miracles. And it just shows us his love, his power, his healing power. The context of this is that Jesus has healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman who was demon-possessed. You'll see that right before that. And this woman was a Gentile. And so she's basically kind of begging Jesus, maybe an inferiority complex, because she knows that she's not Jewish. And so she's asked for crumbs from the table, and Jesus heals. So he's been doing this for a little while, for over a year now. Jesus has ministered in Galilee in the northern part of Israel. And so this was more rural in nature and than the southern part. But here in then when we get to chapter 10, he's going to leave this area and go south to Jerusalem. He's in Gentile country right now. And here in verse 31, it says that Jesus went north from Tyre to Sidon. Then he ends up way south in the Decapolis, the area of 10 cities. That's where we get the Deca there. And he's by on the Sea of Galilee. So you can imagine the context here, the beauty. If you've ever been to Israel or seen pictures of the Sea of Galilee and this whole area, it's just beautiful. So he basically did a hairpin. He goes way north, and now he's turning around. He's going to turn around and go back south down to the Decapolis, an area of these 10 cities. Matthew 15 gives us more context of what's going on during this. It says in verse 29 to Matthew 15, Jesus left there and went along to the Sea of Galilee, and then he went up on a mountainside and sat. Great crowds came to him, it says, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. And the people were amazed when they saw that the mute spoke, the crippled were made well, the lame were walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. So here in Mark chapter 7, we're going to zoom in to one of these specific examples of Jesus healing this deaf man. And it's going to bring him joy. We're actually going to look at a passage in the Old Testament that Mark refers to that is actually fulfilling what is going on here. But we see here a prominent problem here in verse 32 that they brought to him a man who was deaf and he had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. We're told that the man was deaf. He could hardly talk. It's been pointed out that he might have become deaf later in life because he was at least able to talk. If you know anything about, you know, deafness, if you're born deaf from birth, you probably can't talk, right? And so maybe he was able to hear at one point, but now this deafness is impacting his ability to communicate and to talk. People such as this man were often categorized as outcasts because of their disease. The Jewish rabbis categorized the deaf and the mute folks sometimes as insane. I mean, is that heartless or what? Because they had no idea what they could understand. And so there just wasn't an awareness during this time, very harsh to people who had disabilities during this time. And you could feel for this man who's going through this. We live in a day and age where, thankfully, there's more awareness of those who are disabled. There's more of a sensitivity to that, and we can praise God for that. That progress in that area because of God's common grace and his goodness. But part of it was because, you know, of course, they didn't have the medical knowledge that we do today in some of these different areas. So we have to cut them a little bit of a break because, you know, they weren't aware of some of the things we are today. But part of it was bad theology that they reacted this way as well, because the religious leaders often blamed sickness on the sick. You remember the man who was born blind. Jesus had to correct this idea that it was his parents or him that did something wrong. Can you imagine, you know, having a disability, or in this case, being deaf, and then having it be blamed on your sin or your parents' sin? But this was a very common thing that the Pharisees often did. They basically kind of shamed that person, that you did something wrong, you aren't good enough. If you were, you wouldn't have this problem that you have. And so it's just a horrible thing for that person to have to go through, heaped on top of what they're already dealing with. A few years ago, I went to, this is when we were in Illinois, Chicago was not far away, a couple of hours. And so I went to a conference there and was able to catch up with a good friend from our time in St. Louis. His name was Mike. And Mike was born deaf, and he was able to have cochlear implants. And just an amazing guy. He's in the financial, he went to seminary, the same place that I did, but got to know him at our church in St. Louis more than anything. And so he, you know, you can kind of tell, you know, he speaks a little bit different because of that, but he just does an amazing job communicating with these cochlear implants. But he had a temporary job for a while in St. Louis. He lost his job, and he had a boss that would just kind of mercilessly make fun of him. And he would tell these stories of this boss who would say these things to him, and just cruel things. And it was just like, what is this guy's problem? I mean, that is just not right. And so he had to endure some of this that this man here in Mark chapter 7 did. So it made me think of him, of Mike, going through some of these things as well. He, again, had cochlear implants because of his deafness, but then he also has battled cancer. And he was in remission. And the day after that I was with him, he found out that it came back again. And so thankfully he's doing well. He's really fought against it, and God has been gracious to him. But at one point, someone said to him, who kind of basically left the faith, was very not favorable to the things of God anymore. He said, God, you know, why is it that he basically questioned the goodness of God. He said, Mike, why is God allowing all this to happen to you? You know, if God is so good, why are you dealing with all these things? So he's had to wrestle with this idea of obstacles in life and having something that others are very aware of. But it's been amazing to see how God has brought glory to himself and how he's handled all these things and persevered, pointing others to him. I mentioned this just as an example. Maybe you know someone, or you yourself have had to deal with a disability or something that makes you very aware. Others are very aware of something in you. And so he's had to really overcome, and I just really admire him for that. I mentioned that those who are deaf and who have a disability are treated much better today, but it's still difficult. As Mike, his example is that still others can be cruel at times. And so what must it have been like for this deaf man in our passage today to go through all of this, some even telling jokes probably about him? And verse 32 says, this is the good news. There were people that cared about this man. They actually brought him to Jesus. That's significant, isn't it? He had friends. He had those who loved him, and they cared about him enough to bring him before Jesus. And so we see that in verse 32. The NIV says that he could hardly talk. If you have the ESV, it says that he had a speech impediment. But again, this is probably due to his deafness, since he it was hard to talk when you can't hear. The Greek word for this is used only one other place in the Bible. It happens to be the Greek translation of Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. And this is where we're going to get into this idea of joy here in this passage, where the revelation of the glory of the Lord is being brought to the nations. And so in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, it says this: "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." Isn't that significant that Isaiah 35 is looking to this day, the time of Jesus, actually, when this would be fulfilled here? The lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shouts for joy. Mark was writing, as I mentioned, this gospel to the Gentiles. They were Roman Gentiles. They didn't know a lot about the Jewish history, the Old Testament. And so that's why in Mark, you don't see a lot of references to the Old Testament, because Mark knew his audience. He knew his context. Anybody that studied communication knows you have to know your audience, and you have to know who they are. And he did, Mark did. And so that's why he is aware of this, that he's writing to Gentiles. But when he does refer to something in the Old Testament, Jewish in nature, it's huge. One commentator says, on the few occasions where he fortifies his literary architecture with Old Testament reinforcements, they are load-bearing beams. I love that idea that when Mark does refer to something in the Old Testament, it is a load-bearing beam. It is significant. And he's saying that Jesus healing this deaf man is a direct fulfillment of Isaiah 35. Salvation has come to the Gentiles, and ears are being opened, tongues are being loosened. And what is the result? Well, Isaiah 35 tells us there is joy that comes with this. He heals, he restores. He's brought us, the Gentiles, the gospel as well, right? And this joy has come to us as well. And so we see that here in this man who is healed. There is a joy that's being fulfilled from Isaiah chapter 35. Well, the next thing we see is the actual healing of this man in verses 33 to 35. Look with me there. I'm going to read starting in verse 33. Get to the right place here. And it says, starting in verse 33, "And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And he looked up into heaven, and he sighed, and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly." These verses make you a little bit uncomfortable. It does for me. When you read this, you kind of picture what Jesus is doing here of taking this man. He puts his fingers in his ears, his own saliva on his tongue. If you have personal space issues, you probably might have a problem. I know if you were deaf, you probably wouldn't. This guy's like, finally, somebody who can help me. But just the whole idea of Jesus getting into his personal space like that is kind of disturbing a little bit. But we see in other places where Jesus often heals from a distance, right? He's able to do that from a distance. We saw that where Jesus cast out an evil spirit from the woman's daughter from afar. So often you'll see these healings where Jesus is doing it from a distance. But here he gets up close and personal with this man. What is going on here? Why is Jesus doing this? Maybe you've read various things throughout the years, and there's different takes on this, of why he did this. But I think more than anything, Jesus is showing that he's not afraid to come near him and get close. Jesus was never afraid to come near to the leper, to those who were lame, those who were sick, where others were shunning them, right? They didn't want anything to do with them. Unclean, unclean, they would have to yell. But Jesus would just come and get close. He wasn't afraid to come near this man. Others would keep their distance, I'm sure. But Jesus is showing how much he cares for those who are in need. This man who has endured isolation from many others. Now, he wasn't a leper, right? So he probably didn't, you know, experience it to the level that a leper would have. But it's this idea that people kind of probably kept him at a distance because he was different. He had something that they were very aware of, that he couldn't talk very well. And so this man who's endured isolation, Jesus comes near to him, and he gets close and personal. He's showing that he's not afraid to do that. You know, I think this is interesting, this whole idea of struggling with hearing loss. My mom has struggled with that over the years. She has hearing aids now, and things are a lot better. I know there's some others who deal with things like that, but one of the common things is that people with this kind of condition, it's hard for them to be around others. As you talk to someone who finds it hard to hear, often they just want to be in isolation, because when you get in a restaurant or you get around a lot of people, it's just very difficult to hear, right? And so you're just, I remember at one moment just seeing my mom at a family gathering, and she was just sitting there and not knowing what to do as all this noise was around her. And it just made me feel for her, of how hard that is. And so this is something that this man would have been going through. One of the things that people will often say that deal with this is that sometimes people will get testy with them. They almost get mad at them because they can't hear. You know, so they're already dealing with this shame of not being able to hear, and then people get frustrated. Why can't you hear me? Or they'll get a little short and testy with them. This is what this man is enduring day after day after day. So Jesus knew this is what he needed. He needed to come close to him, put his hands on him, put his fingers in his ears and his saliva, get all the senses involved here in this healing. He came close and personal. Notice it says that he sighed deeply as he looked up into heaven. That's significant as well, right? To this idea that we have a sighing Savior, as someone has put it. He feels the weight of this world. You probably have felt that a little in your own life this week, where you've sighed in various ways, where you're like, oh, can I do this? Maybe some on the mission trip, you felt that as you were getting tired, wondering if you had what it took to continue. Those of you back here probably went through some things over the last week or so that have caused you to sigh. Isn't it encouraging to know that we have a Savior who sighs along with us? He comes into our space. When we come to him in prayer and that intimacy, he is sighing with us. We have a Savior who knows us and gets intimate with us. John Calvin put it this way. He said, when he looked up to heaven and sighed, it was an expression of strong feeling. And this enables us to perceive the vehemence of his love towards men, for those whose miseries he feels so much compassion. Nor can it be doubted that by conveying the spittle from his own mouth to the mouth of another, and by putting his fingers into his ears, he intended to manifest and express the same feeling of kindness. So in an amazing way, Calvin is bringing out this fact that Jesus is coming near, and he is coming near to this man in an amazing way. And so just invite you to think about that, what that would have been like for this man, what that would have been like to witness Jesus doing this. He is not afraid to come near to us in our pain. Verse 35 says that the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he begins to speak plainly out of nowhere. I wonder what the first thing was that he said. Wouldn't it have been interesting to be there, to hear what this man had to say after Jesus healed him? Based on the words of Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, let me read it again. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. If this is a fulfillment that Mark is saying of witnessing this, probably what came out of this man's mouth were words of praise and joy. You know, thank you, Jesus. Wow, I can talk. He would have been filled with joy and praise for what Jesus had done for him. And so we get that way in the Old Testament, looking to that day when the Messiah would come and do this. He might have been professing that Jesus was the Messiah as well. And maybe that's part of the reason that Jesus told him to keep quiet. It wasn't time for that yet. And probably Jesus didn't want to get mobbed either, because others were going to be bringing more and more people to him for healing. And so Jesus is trying to get him to quiet down a little bit, but he can't. He's full of joy. He's telling what Jesus has done for him. So we've seen this private healing, but then we see a public proclamation, as I mentioned. Look with me at verses 36 and 37. And it says, and Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So now we have this public proclamation. Everyone is talking about what Jesus has done. Not only this man, but people all around him. Isn't that amazing? He has done all things well. This is who Jesus is. It brings to mind the creation story back in Genesis 1:31. We read it on the mission trip, where God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So Jesus created all that is around us. We look at the beauty of creation this morning, hearing the birds sing and the beauty of the sunshine and the wind and all the things around us. It proclaims to us that Jesus does all things well. And we see that here as he heals this man who was deaf for many years. He is showing the same ability, just as he created the universe. Jesus now again is doing all things well. The people are amazed at what he has done. Paul Miller is an author some of you have maybe read before or know, but he has written many good books over the years, and he has a developmentally disabled daughter who cannot speak. And so she actually has to have a computer to communicate with others. As I lost my sheet. And he talks about in one of his books called Love Walked Among Us. He tells the story of a little girl that came up to her. And if you have kids, you know that sometimes kids will say things that they shouldn't. You know, they don't have tact the way that we would like them to, especially a young child. And I can imagine the parents cringing and when all this was happening, when this awkward question was blurted out. And she asked Paul Miller's young daughter, she said, "Why don't you speak?" Very direct, right? And everybody went silent. How is she going to answer this? They stood there kind of shocked at the question and as to how she would respond. And they waited, and she typed out an answer, and she responded with this. She said, "I'm going to have a beautiful voice in heaven." And Paul Miller talks about how everyone fell silent. They didn't know what to do from this response from this young lady. And nobody could look up. After a bit, Paul and his wife walked away, and they were sighing. And he recounts how they were saying, "Jesus feels your pain." And they were just entering into that with their daughter of what she was going through. But isn't that an incredible perspective that she typed back here, that she will have a beautiful voice in heaven? So we see the power here of Jesus. Now, he is able to heal, right? I don't know why he doesn't always heal us today. Some people he does, and there's testimonies of that. Others, he does not. It's a mystery, right? We pray for healing. We know he is able in various ways, but he has a purpose in all of this. This we know. And so the Miller family talks about how they've had to just really wrestle with that and trust God for his purposes for their daughter and for their family. But they know, and he talks about how they've come into communion with their Savior Jesus in a new way, that knowing that he comes near to those who are suffering. And we see it here in this passage, and it brings joy to all involved. Now, sometimes he shows it by showing up, right, and healing, and he's able to do that. Other times, it's we're healed in eternity, right? And we look to eternity, and maybe that's part of the purpose of some of the things that we go through. That it causes us to long for eternity, to that day when we will be healed and all things will be well as they should be. And so Paul Miller's daughter sharing that and looking forward to that day. And so this is just an incredible passage here this morning that we've been looking at, reminding us that we have a Savior who does all things well. This should bring us joy. He comes close to this man. He heals him. Jesus is personal. He loves him. He draws near to people that are outcasts, especially during this time. So one of the questions for you and I this morning, a couple of different questions. The first, who is God calling you and me to draw near to and be his hands and feet and share our joy with? Who is God calling us to draw near to and to be the presence of Jesus and to share God's joy with? I think of the many people who have disabilities, like this man, who can be shunned by others. It can even happen in our time as well. How often have people like this man and Mark been described as deaf? And there was actually a term people would use, deaf and dumb, right? And it's just sad that we've even, you know, made phrases like that over the years to describe someone. It further alienates them. But Jesus says, you belong in the kingdom, no matter who you are. He loves and comes close to us. You know, I felt that a little bit, just in a small way over the years, of things that can bring us, I don't know, shame, but or we're aware of. You know, I'm blind in my left eye. And I had somebody point that out a while back. Sometimes kids will do that to you. What's wrong with your eye? We all have maybe things in our lives that are not right, right? Maybe they bring a shame or whatever it is. We have a disability. But isn't it good to know that that Jesus loves us as we are. He comes near to us. Maybe you have something in your life, or maybe it's just a struggle that won't go away, and you wish, why doesn't God just take this away? But often he has a purpose in it to keep us humble, to keep us looking to him. And so I just love this story this morning of how Jesus comes near to this man, and he responds with an incredible joy. So who is it that God is calling you to draw near, to be his hands and feet? I had a small just taste of that on the mission trip. It was the final night, and we were in the party van, as we called it. We'd all get in this 15-passenger van that Brandon was driving, one of the guys in the church. And somebody came in and said, you know, pastor, and we need a pastor. And I was kind of like, oh, okay. Or Bruce, can you come out? And I thought it was for a picture or something like that. And well, it turns out there was two ladies. I don't think they were even part of the church. I didn't recognize them, but maybe they were. I don't know. But maybe Pastor No Way was not available. But they asked me to pray for them. They were holding their young babies or young children in their arms. One of them, she said through a translator, you know, he's 2 years old and he's not able to walk still. Can you pray for him? The other had an appointment on Monday and just had a lot of things wrong with him. And she asked for prayer. And it was just that powerful reminder of it almost felt like a biblical account, right? How often do we not have that here where people want and need and realize their need for prayer? But it's just that reminder that we have a Savior who allows us to come near to those who need peace, who need God's presence. Now, I don't know what's going to happen from that prayer, but God does. And he calls us to share our joy, to share the joy and love of Jesus. And many of you, all of you on the trip had the opportunity to do that. And I really noticed it throughout the team, just the joy from the youth and the adults that was present throughout the week, the joy that the church there showed, that having a fraction of the things that we do here. But yet you get an idea of what life is really about. So we can have this joy this morning because Jesus does all things well. Another question is, what has Jesus done for you? What has he done for you in your life that should cause joy? Well, first off, he saved us, right? If he does nothing else, that should cause us great joy. And so I invite you just to think about that this morning, but maybe some other things that Jesus, ways that he's drawn near to you and brought you joy. Respond with joy this morning because God is good. May we proclaim that in our lives as well, because Jesus does all things well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage here this morning. Just a reminder that you are the one who brings joy. This fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 35, where the mute will sing for joy. And we see that here with this man. Lord, we thank you for being present with us. We thank you for the opportunity that we had as a mission team to be present with our brothers and sisters in another part of the world, to worship with them last Sunday, and just be reminded of your power and your presence all throughout your creation. I pray that you would help us to think about those things that you have done for each one of us and how that should bring us great joy, but also to think of how we can bring joy to others around us, to draw near to them, maybe even people that others will shy away from. Thinking of, you know, kids even at school with maybe other kids that are shunned at times, or what does it look like to love them and to draw near to them and to share the love of Jesus? I pray that you would reveal that through your Spirit in each of our lives, what it looks like to draw near others and to get close and personal and to share your love and joy. Lord, we thank you that you do all things well and that you give us your joy this morning. I pray that you would give us that joy as we talk with one another and have food together afterwards on this picnic, and give it to us in abundance the rest of this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we reflect on Bruce's teaching today, stand if you're able, and a great to be given.